It is my privilege to lead us into a new sermon series and talk about a range of emotions or a diversity, our honest emotions to God. And just this morning, or I should say this past night, throughout the night, I've been through a whole range of emotions where you feel this, maybe a little bit of sadness, a little bit of anger, as my new baby boy is just struggling so much in my arms, trying to fall asleep. And then he grunts and grunts, and then he lets out a little fart. And then he's like, ah, and he falls asleep. And what joy at that moment. I know I say it jokingly, but it is truly joyful to see my son grow and to see the next generation and here in our community gathering together to worship and identifying with our God. It is such a joy as well. And so this morning, as you've noticed, we have new banners up that reflect our new sermon series on the Psalms. Honest to God, praying to God with all of our honesty, with all of our honest hearts. And so before I even get into our Psalm series, I'm going to invite John up to explain a little bit of what our art pieces reflect and what they mean.
Hi, everybody. Thanks, Jonathan. I don't know if I'm going to explain so much as share a bit of the process and how the people who put this stuff together for us today, Desiree and the decorations team, and this is myself with the Hope Art Collective, how we came to this stuff. Dave had reached out and said he would love me to come up and share a little bit about this, and there's a couple of ways of looking at that. One is, this is really great, and a lot of really careful thought went into it, and we should share that with everybody. And the other way is, I have no idea what this is, and you'd better share that with people. I'm hoping it's the first, but I'll briefly share nonetheless. We always start with a little bit of an idea of what the sermon series will be, and a few images or words from Dave so that we can kind of attach meaning to it if we can, and try and present something that's visual. And prayer is a tough topic because it is in many ways kind of insubstantial, ethereal. It's not something we can easily paint or draw or shape or sculpt. And yet, as we started to talk about it, and Dave gave us these very simple primary colored silhouettes of different people, different shapes, and different kind of thought bubbles, some of which you see reflected by Desiree's team and the decorations group, I was led to think of in Revelations 8:4, where it talks about the incense and the prayers of God's holy people mixing in the altar and being lifted up to God. And it felt then like something that was tangible and something that could be kind of drawn. And so we have incense or smoke as prayers lifted up here in this image. And prayer being so diverse and honest and sometimes hard. We have many different types of prayers represented here, many types of reaching out to God by many types of people, young, very young, old, all different skin tones, all different attitudes, and different shapes, which I really, for the most part, would love to just allow you to interpret. There's things there that are perhaps victorious and perhaps also angry. There's shapes there that are pleading or grasping, and sometimes grasping but not in a good way. And there's a shape there that is asking for a quick answer, going to God only when we need God to be there for us, looking for that instant fix. There's a lot there to think about, and we're glad to try with the images of different people and the thoughts of the different people rising up and the incense and prayers rising up to God to give you something to reflect on over this full sermon series. Thank you.
Thank you, John, and thank you, Hope, our collective. And if you're interested in serving the church with art, you can always talk to John and join our community and serve in this way. I'm not an art person at all, but just hearing these interpretations and these drawings, expressions, it makes you really think about what we are hearing and what we are reflecting from the Psalms. And so this morning, as I've said, we're going into the Psalms. And as we begin looking at the Psalms and how they express the experiences of life, it is important and it is very crucial that we note how all these prayers, how all these honest prayers, they're directed to God. And I think that's the most crucial point that we should not let go of or forget. That whatever prayers you may bring, however you may feel about those prayers, we bring them before our God. And so I don't know what your prayer life looks like right now, whether communally or individually, but the Psalms and all 150 of them reflect what praying to God looks like. And so this is a quote. I don't know if it's going to be up there. My fault for being late. But this is a quote from Eugene Peterson, a well-known biblical scholar who said this about the Psalms. Thank you. Everything that a person can possibly feel, experience, and say is brought into expression before God in the Psalms. If you have thought or felt anything like I have, of not knowing exactly how to pray or what to pray about, this sermon series is just for you. The Psalms teach us how to pray and to pray honestly before our God. And so before we begin looking at the very first Psalm, I want to do a brief introduction to the Psalms in general. I'll keep it as brief as possible, like I did last week. And so the Psalms, what are the Psalms? Why is it called Psalms? I did a little bit of research. The Psalms come from the etymology, the root of the word Psalms, psalms, right? So the P is silent, but it's pronounced Psalms. And it comes from the meaning that it is something that you sing along to the harp, I believe. That I don't know if that's true or not. But it's songs or expressions, prayers, confessions that are to be either musically sung or poetically confessed. And so many scholars also say that the Psalms were used for corporate worship by the people of God to honestly express their experiences, thoughts, and feelings to God in the worship setting. And so what we learn about God in the Psalms and are reflections of real life responses to real life situations. I pulled just one more quote, this one from a different scholar. And he says, the Psalms are diverse and yet remarkably coherent songs whose aim is to praise the God of Israel, to celebrate his love and power even in the midst of pain and sorrow, and indeed to bring all of human life into his presence. All of human life into his presence. The key is that our whole life, every last bit of it, is brought before our God in prayer. And when we do bring to God all of our lives, we may hopefully be able to ground ourselves in who he is and what our Psalms and what our Bible tells us about who God is. The loving, gracious, patient, understanding, and always faithful God. And so with this short introduction in mind, I invite you now, if you have your Bibles with you on your phones or print Bible, please turn with me to the very first Psalm. We begin the Psalms with Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water. Sorry, I lost my place. Which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is the word of the Lord. This psalm opens the way into the Psalms as a collected whole. In a way, it sets the stage for the people of God reading and professing the Psalms that we're doing today. And as an introduction, it places two distinct contrasts between the way of righteousness, which is a blessing, blessing, blessed is the one, and the way to destruction, which leads to death. As the Psalms teach us to pray and express all that we go through in our journey of faith, the first psalm gives us the template for what praying to God and journeying with Him is like. And in contrast, it shows us, the first psalm does, what life looks like without Him. And so Psalm 1 is often known as wisdom literature. It's a genre. You could say it's a proverb. There are many proverbs from all cultures. And as an analogy for this morning, I pulled out two. I researched two. One from my own Korean culture and one from the Dutch culture. I know we don't have many people in our church that may understand the Dutch. And so if I get it wrong, I don't think I'll be judged too much. But the first one, the Korean one says, 원숭이도 나무에서 떨어진다. It's a very simple saying that says, translated literally, even the monkey falls off the tree. The meaning is that it's supposed to comfort you, reminding you that even experts make mistakes. And then the Dutch one. Here we go. It's written, okay. Anyway, so better in half I than in lege dope. Did anyone understand that? No? Can anyone translate it for me? No. Literally translated, it's better half an egg than an empty shell. The meaning supposedly is we must be grateful for what we get, even if it is less than we desire. Those are two proverbs I looked at. There are many. I mean, right now with my newborn, I'm getting a whole bunch of advice and proverbs on how to raise a newborn baby properly. And they're very diverse and different. And a lot of them are conflicting. Or personally for me, growing up with eczema, I've heard thousands, that's an exaggeration, hundreds of advice on how to treat and have remedies to take care of my skin better. And again, they're so diverse. And a lot of those advice are conflicting. So I don't even know who to trust anymore. One doctor says this, like doctors with authority say, oh, eczema has to do with what you eat. Another doctor says, it has nothing to do with what you eat. You just have to treat it better. Put more moisturizer on it. And so there are so many proverbs and advice. And the point of any proverb is to provide any wisdom that will lead to a better, and to use the words of our psalm this morning, a more blessed or a more prosperous life. Being reminded that we are not perfect, that even monkeys fall off trees, and that having a grateful mind will allow us to live a more happier life, maybe a more blessed life. But if we end the sermon here, what is the difference between God's word and any general proverb? The wisdom that Psalm 1 provides us with today is directing us to true blessedness, true happiness. That is the very first word that starts off the whole of the Psalms, even in the original Hebrew. It starts off with, blessed is the one, Ashrei Ha'ish. True blessing comes from God and actually is God in the sense that living in communion with our God, living the life that was intended by our Creator, is true blessing, is true happiness. The gospel message for us this morning is that this is true life that we have only through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a very simple and direct gospel for us through the Psalms this morning. That true happiness and true blessedness is through the grace of our God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we get into the wisdom of how living this life of faith looks like, the psalmist starts off with a negative, with the things to avoid if one desires to live a truly blessed life. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step. Although a better translation for this one would be to walk in the counsel of, in the advice of sinners, of the wicked, stand in ways that sinners take, or sits in the company of mockers. And so for my sermon this morning, I listened to Dave's old sermon on the Psalms. And a significant point that I think is very appropriate for our community today, especially with a lot of high schoolers graduating from high school this season, is that the trajectory that we can observe happening with the young adults. Especially after graduating high school, and I can relate this myself as well, and a lot of it. You find yourself, after high school, going to university or joining the workforce, where you are not necessarily protected by faithful people in your community, by a youth group maybe, or even by family, depending on where you end up. Especially after graduating high school, you start associating yourself with those who do not recognize your faith or actually downright reject your identity as a Christian. And the more you walk with them or receive their counsel and advice, and the more you stand with them and you identify with them, and then eventually you sit with them, they end up becoming your primary company. Then, when this happens, when non-Christians become your primary company, you come to the place where church does not end up happening anymore, where you struggle to even have meaningful conversations about your faith with anyone. If you feel guilty enough because you grew up in the church, you may maybe listen to an online sermon or a Christian podcast here and there, but you end up shaping your life around the path away from God's word and away from his people, his community. Now, the point I'm trying to make is not to suggest that we stay away from the world and protect ourselves in the safety of some sort of Christian bubble, as if there's a perfect Christian bubble that will protect us. That actually goes against the missional identity we have as God's people to be in the world, to be a witness for God's kingdom. Our calling is actually to be in the world. It's just the point is, we're not supposed to be of it. We're not to walk, we're not to stand, we're not to sit with the world, but we are in it. The point I want to make that the psalmist expresses in Psalm 1 is exactly what Paul says in Romans. And I read from Romans 12:2. He says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, be renewed by the transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve of what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." His good, pleasing, and perfect will, meaning a blessed life. Later on in the chapter, Paul also says, which is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. When I was in Korea teaching, I had this Bible verse written in my classroom every year. Romans 12:21 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Again, the point is not to be separated from the world. The point is to be in the world, but not of it. And so I want to challenge you this morning to ask yourself, do you find life in God's living word, which proclaims the gospel, the good news that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how he died and was resurrected from the dead, defeated death for us so that we may have life? Or do you still struggle to identify who your primary company is, thinking that sitting on the fence is still an option? Our psalm this morning is asking you to choose life. Choose the life of blessing, the life in communion with God through the grace of Jesus that allows us the true freedom to live the life that was intended from the beginning. And that is the good news for us this morning, Hope. We have life in Christ. We proclaim life in His name. And so blessed is the one who does not identify with sinners, whose trajectory is not away from God, but blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord, in the Torah of the Lord. The translation law makes it unnecessarily too legalistic sounding. A better translation might be instructions of the Lord or guidelines of the Lord for a truly blessed life. I want you to picture the image not as God waiting to disqualify you into destruction every shortcoming that you have. That here's the standard, every time you fall short, oh, you're disqualified. But the image is more like God, a loving Father, trying desperately to get our attention so that we may hear, see, and experience the real blessing and real life in His name. And what better way to hear and see this life than through His revealed will, through His revealed will in our scriptures. Our psalm also says to meditate on God's instructions for us, on God's Torah for us. The significance of this word, meditate, is to slow down. Unlike my sermon last week, to slow down means to really chew and really take root in what God is saying to you through His living word. And I really like the image that Dave used in his sermon. He says that he compares meditation to eating really, really delicious chocolate really fast as compared to eating it really, really slow, letting it melt on your tongue, and just being able to really feel and experience that delicious chocolate. You can't truly appreciate that wonderful taste if you eat it too fast. And that goes with any delicious food. In our culture today, which is drenched in so much instant gratification, that we even have to fight our own instincts to slow down to really enjoy anything. Hear this encouragement from our psalm this morning. It is telling us in our modern, fast-paced culture to slow down and really enjoy, be immersed, be rooted in God's word. The person that is able to really dig deep and become rooted in God's word is like a tree planted in streams of water, yielding fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, who prospers in whatever they do. Prospers. Again, this points us back to the first word that the psalm started with, blessed. Living a life as intended by our perfect Creator, enjoying and celebrating a prosperous, a blessed life in communion with our loving Father. Now, if I had more time, I would warn against equating this definition of blessing and prosperous and being prosperous with material wealth. But I'm sure nobody here at Hope has a problem with that. The opposite end of this spectrum is one who is like chaff that is blown away. They are not rooted in anything. They are constantly on the move, being influenced by this and that, not knowing exactly who their primary company is. Our psalm says that their life shall perish, meaning that their life will reflect a life that is aimless, directionless, because it is a life away from God, away from the true source of eternal life. And so for us, the good news is, in our Christian, Christ-centered faith, Christ is the provider of life. Christ is the provider of our lives. We look to Him for life, and whoever believes in Him shall not perish. but have eternal life. They shall have a truly blessed life. And so as we journey through the Psalms this summer, I want to encourage you to find life in God's Word. Meditate. Slowly immerse yourself in His life-giving Word that proclaims life in Christ's name. And as you root yourself in God's living Word, may you be able to celebrate and enjoy the truly prosperous, blessed life through all of our joys and sorrows. And all of our joys and sorrows that we learned last week, we go through together. This is your primary company. The people of God journey together through all of our emotions, through all of our journeys, whether you are very joyful, very happy this morning, or whether you're down, something is tugging at your heart. We journey together. And these are joy. These are tears of joy and tears of sadness at the same time. Just so that I'm clear, there's nothing big that's happening in my family or something. Like, nobody's dying at the moment. I am truly grateful. These are tears of joy, real joy, and how our family has been blessed by so many in our community. And by the way, Hope, there's so many talented cooks. And we've enjoyed so much delicious food and been blessed and have been able to enjoy that blessing together in our primary company, in our primary community. And at the same time, when we suffer, we get to suffer together. This is not the time for me. I've been off center the whole sermon. But you have no idea how thankful I am that I am here with you, with Hope here. And as we journey through the Psalms, I pray that you will be able to reflect some of the joys and also the sadness and suffering and grief that we will go through. And I pray that we will be able to do it together and we will be a true reflection of true blessing for one another. That is my prayer for you this morning. So please join me in prayer. Father God, we come before you in our raw, honest emotions. All that we have, all that we go through, all that we experience, Lord, we bring it before you. We come to you and we look to you, Lord God. Lord, forgive us for trying to look for other ways and other things that are not you. Lord, I pray as we journey through the Psalms this summer that it will truly be a blessing for us, that we would be able to reflect what a life of blessedness, a life of righteousness looks like when we meditate, when we delight in your living word. And Lord, let us be challenged that when we don't take your word and when we don't look to your word for life, we will find only death and destruction, Lord. So I pray that you will continue to guide your people, that by your grace and by your love, by your Holy Spirit, you will empower us and give us the wisdom, true proverbs, true wisdom through your Psalms, through your word, to be able to live for you, live for your kingdom here on earth as new creation, as new people living in communion with you. So we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for the journey that we are starting with the Psalms. Lord, hear our praise. Hear our honest prayers. We give you all the glory, Lord, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to rise as we sing our song of response.